Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host, Vincent the Bay.
Vincent the Bay.
Hi there, honey. I'm number one.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Of Disorderly Conduct, an extremely early edition of a Disorderly Conduct. And in fact, I think this is the first one I've done that I can remember in a long time where it was still light outside when I started the show. So yeah, there it is. Early show today. I have a guest lined up tonight. Her name is Megan, and she is part of the crew for the film, the animated film Silver Circle. And I'm going to have her on in a little bit. Hopefully she will call in soon. And also, oh yeah, tomorrow night I'm also going to have another filmmaker on my show. Tomorrow night it will be the normal time though. And the filmmaker tomorrow night will be Christina from Libertopia. So back-to-back Liberty minded films and filmmakers and peeps joining me here on the program. And if you want to call in and hang out with me on air before Megan gets here, the number 347-826-7667. I'm going to take a quick break and hopefully come back with Megan from Silver Circle. I'll be right back.
Oh,
You're tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Give us a call, bitches. 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
Oh, yeah. Vince in the Bay back here with you on Disorderly Conduct. And I believe I am now joined by my guest. Is this Megan?
Yes, this is.
Hey, Megan. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you over there in West Coast time?
Oh, it's awesome. I was just commenting that this is the first time I've done my show in a long time where I've actually seen the sun still out.
Oh, wow.
Still light out. Well, the sun's down, but it's still light outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting to that time of year where the days are stretching out.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, it's great. It was an amazing day in San Francisco today. It was hot today, actually. Everybody was in flip-flops and, you know, shorts and riding their bikes and stuff.
We'll send it over this way.
Yeah,
please.
No worries. Well, actually, no, I kind of like it. I think I'm going to keep it for myself.
Well, fair enough.
We actually don't, in San Francisco itself, we don't get good weather. Normally, it's always overcast and foggy and cold. Actually, it's usually like in the 50s.
Well, when I was there back in March, it was gorgeous. Every single day we were there, it didn't rain a drop. I think it was foggy one day, but when we were there for WonderCon in March, it was absolutely beautiful. I had a hard time with having to be inside in the convention center the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I met you at WonderCon. How did that work out for you guys? Was it a successful journey for you? I know you both you and Pasha, the film's director and producer, came out from the East Coast. Is that right? Both of you guys from the
Yeah. Back? Yep, that was definitely the furthest we've traveled so far for a comic convention, but it was a wonderful trip. We met tons of awesome people, including yourself, and made some really great connections.
The awesomest.
Yes, and made some really great connections, and just looking forward to see how the relationship blooms with all the people that we've met. Hopefully people are becoming fans of our film. Hopefully people are following us now. You know, our website traffic has definitely improved over the past couple months. So,
do you want to go into the film, give us a little spiel on the film itself, the genesis, and where it's at now?
Sure. Well, right now we are producing a feature-length animated film called Silver Circle, and it's a story about the economic collapse in 2019 and a group of rebels who band underground to try to fight the Federal Reserve and destroy it. So there's a love story tangled in, there's some action, and there's also a very subtle but prominent message in the film as well that talks about real money and the Federal Reserve and what it has done and its potential of what it could do to our country. So the film's the idea came from our director, Pasha Roberts, back in 2008 after Lehman Brothers had crashed and we were, you know, going full force into this financial crisis that we found ourselves in today. And Pasha said to himself, this is a really awesome story. He has the tools to create animated film because he's been working with animation and graphics and finance. He has the economics background and things like that. He was doing some more corporate style animation videos before he started moving more into the creative side of things. So once the financial crisis ensued, he said, hey, we could tell this story. And it just kind of snowballed from there, and we ended up getting an excellent accredited screenwriter from LA who actually lived through some serious hyperinflation in Argentina. So he had a great perspective in writing the script for our economic dystopian film. And we shot the film in September and have just been moving along in terms of spreading the word about it in the marketing side of things, as well as just trying to produce the best animated film we can make. And right now we're in post-production and hoping to have the film released this fall.
That's awesome. Now, you said it's an animated film, but you shot it. So was this some sort of rotoscope thing, like Waking Life type of thing? What's the deal with that?
Well, it's actually called motion capture. So we had a performance by actors in our green screen studio here right outside of Boston. And they came in. We have a grid. We have these really neat custom-made head cams. We have reference cameras all around the studio. And what we did was shoot the film from start to finish in the script. It took us about 11 days to shoot a 110-page script, which if you ask any other filmmaker, they would say that's unheard of. But, you know, minus all the scene changes and different things like that, we were able to be a lot more efficient with our time.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're moving. The animation process is using everything that we captured in our green screen studio as reference. So we have the sets built, we have the animated characters built, but now they're kind of taking place of the live performance that we captured in our studio. So it gives a lot more of a realistic performance of the animated characters. So it's not a cartoon. It's kind of like if you look at Avatar or something similar to Scanner Darkly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's how they do a lot of video games nowadays, too, is they all deal with motion capture, I think, as well.
A lot of people have said that to us because some of the points of animation that we've released to let people see our progress, they've said, hey, this kind of looks like a video game, which at the stage of animation it was at, yes, it is very similar to a video game, but we're hoping to sharpen it up and tune it up a lot more so it has a little bit more of a realistic feel to it.
Yeah, I've seen some of the production stills that you guys have at your website with all the green screen action. It looks like a really elaborate shoot, really. I mean, I've got a background in video and film production. I worked as a sound guy for a long time, so I've been on a lot of sets. And, you know, it looks like you guys went all out here. And I certainly, when I saw the little teaser you had on the website, that's initially what I thought. I've seen a lot of, like, to me, what I saw on the thing looked like a previz, what I used to hear referred to as previz, like where people would do, like, instead of storyboarding on paper, they would do, like, animate it. And that's sort of what it reminded me of. But I didn't certainly interpret it as being the finished product.
Yeah. Well, the teaser, if you look, there's definitely some changes that have been made in terms of the characters and our cameras, because we actually place in virtual cameras. If you notice in the teaser, we didn't have a camera right up in certain parts of people's faces, but now because it's animation, we're able to place a camera wherever we want. We could have a camera coming up, you know, someone's throat. We could have, you know, a camera shooting through someone's glasses. I mean, it's really, there's no end to where we can, you know, what we can do with this animation, which is pretty fun. We've had some fun with it.
That's awesome. So the whole thing's been shot and is in the post-production process right now. What was your personal involvement from beginning until now? I know that I remember when I talked to you, you said that your role in this film has sort of evolved. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I first started by, I met Pasha at a conference, and he was like, hey, I need some help just getting the word out about this film we have coming out. And I said, sure, I'd love to help, and hopped on board with Limeclaw Productions. And next thing you know, there was just event after event popping up, and we realized we were really gaining some traction with our potential audience. So it quickly went from a part-time position to a full-time marketing position, but also during the shoot, everyone in the studio was helping out. I mean, to the point where some people were running the clapper. We had PAs running wires. I helped out our editor who did all the camera work and just did basically screening all the cameras, making sure everything was lined up. And now that the shooting is over with, it's fully animation, and I personally don't touch any of the animation software, but we have some really talented crew members that are taking that on. And from here on out, I'm just doing the best I can to get the word out, like talking to Vince in the Bay. Hello?
Oh, sorry, I muted myself.
Oh.
Yeah, I was hacking up I was hacking up a lung in the background there.
Oh, fair enough.
No, I was fawning. I was actually going through the website with all the multimedia with the pictures on it, and I was fawning over your picture here with Ron Paul. Is that Ron Paul's wife?
Yes.
Isn't she
adorable?
Yeah, she looks like a badass.
Hold on. I hope we're talking about the same woman. I'm assuming we are.
She looks badass. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she's like amazing. I've met her a couple times. She's amazing. Very supportive. She's the one, you know, if you're walking up to meet Ron Paul, because I've, you know, pushed a couple friends up because I've met him a couple times and I'm going, go up and say hi. And, you know, you're all nervous, kind of that starstruck attitude. And his wife will be the first one to grab you and say, well, come over here and talk to him. So.
Yeah, see, she's badass. She takes because he seems like really like kind of shy and sort of timid and wouldn't normally probably go out of his way to say hi to anybody probably.
Yeah, probably because he constantly has people there saying hello to him. So,
But I think just in general, just seeing his demeanor in interviews and in speeches and stuff, he just seems like kind of like, you know, he's sort of a reluctant public figure, you know, like it's not really his forte. It's more his ideas that are the appeal with him. He's not necessarily the delivery, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I've seen my fair share of Ron Paul interviews and I see him try to come out of his shell every once in a while. But for the most part, I mean, what more can you ask than the consistency that you hear from him over and over and over? I mean, the message never changes, and perhaps his delivery, if you look back at some videos of him back in 88, whenever he was running for president for the Libertarian Party, I mean, he is a spitfire back then. I mean, he's jumping out of his chair.
He still is.
I'm
absolutely
saying he was jumping out of his chair, yelling at people in different interviews, telling them, you know, they're out of line, and he was getting into it back in the day. But, of course, I mean, he's grown up. He's mellowed out a bit, rightfully so. And he's still got the same message. And now, luckily, he has, you know, younger people and very passionate activists that are doing all the yelling for him. So.
Yeah, and that's a point of contention, actually, for me. Because I'm an ardent Ron Paul supporter. I definitely like him. He's the only politician that I really care for at all, and you know, and I think he gets a bad rap, not because of him or his message or his delivery. I think it's more the hysteria that has surrounded him has somehow gotten portrayed in the media as being just a pack of conspiracy theorist Yahoo wackos, you know.
Yeah, there's definitely, you see it too when you go to the events. There's the people that are, it's almost like they have so much passion built up and they're so excited about the message that it's almost like you can't even control yourself. I mean, me personally, I first started learning about all of these basically lies that we've been living in and how the government has been, you know, hiding things, how the Federal Reserve has been the one really controlling things. I mean, I felt like I could explode with information in situations with people, and I did a couple times. But once you kind of realize that's not where you get, how you get somewhere with someone in a conversation, eventually I think the conversation evolves a little bit. But I definitely can see where that could drive you nuts, because it definitely gets me a little worked up every once in a while too.
Don't get me wrong, though. I love the enthusiasm. I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I can see it for what it is. It's overzealousness. That's fine. I think it's great. You want that. I mean, everybody wants that. Whether it's your high school football team or whatever. It's just that within the conservative, I have to put it in quotes now, conservative movement or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of factions that sort of alienate the Ron Paul. The sort of Ron Paul Republicans or Ron Paul conservatives out there. and instead of rather than embracing it. And they always have to. And I had a little not a really Twitter war, but more of just like a Twitter back and forth sort of volleying thing. You know, and when I got to talking, and this girl was just like complaining about all, you know, all the crappy people that are sort of out there with their hat in the ring on the Republican side, and she's just sort of throwing out these little snarky comments about everybody. And one of them was about Ron Paul, and I'm just like, you know what, it was just a total ad hominem attack, and just you know, just typical snarkiness. And I was just like, come on, you're better than this. You know, it really says more about you than it'll ever say about Ron Paul when you just say that he, you know, you quote him as saying he's from the planet Zircon or something.
Like, yeah.
You know, come on. What do you, you know, to me, it's just that it puts egg on their face when they have to resort to that stuff. And then when I tried to break her down, I didn't attack her back. I was just like, look, you know, I think you're more mistaking the rabid, you know, the vocal following that he might have, and confusing that for his message. And she's like, yeah, she even admitted it too. She was just like, yeah, you're probably right, but yeah, you know that. She's like, oh, but then she finally went at me with something of substance. And she's like, oh, I just don't like his foreign policy thing. And to me, that's just like the Ann Coulter, you know, escape clause. It's just like, oh yeah, you know, I can sort of ironically like Ron Paul, but I can just dismiss him because he doesn't want to bomb the shit out of other countries, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least you took the conversation in the right direction to the point where you could actually have a conversation with her.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing is I don't know. I just think I'm not trying to think I'm a much more complex human being than just being, you know, a lefty or a righty. And I can agree and disagree with both of these two camps. And it's funny, when I argue with a quote conservative, suddenly I become a liberal pinko commie, you know, faggot. If I'm arguing with the liberal pinko commie faggots, I'm like a racist teabagger. It's like, you can't win with these people because they're so simple-minded. It's just like, either it's black and white with them, everything. There's no gray.
Yeah. Well, and there's one thing, if I've learned, probably the best message I've learned from following Ron Paul in my own personal life outside of work and the filmmaking situation is leading by example. I mean, that's kind of Ron Paul's go-to message for the most part, when it comes to foreign policy, when it comes to monetary policy, when it comes to how you live your life. If you lead by example and other people see you benefiting off of it, chances are they're going to look at you and wonder what you're doing and try to replicate what you're doing. And that's probably one of the best things I've learned. And if you take into arguments and you get into debates and things like that and you approach it in a very diplomatic way, there's no reason why that person's not going to get, you know, come to your level where you're talking, and you might be able to get somewhere with them.
That's what's up. That's Megan Duffield. Is that right? Duffield, is that how you say it?
That's me.
All right. Yeah, she's from the film, the animated liberty-minded film, Silver Circle, and she's hanging out here with me. We were just chopping it up about Ron Paul, and I'm going to take a quick little break here. And be right back. We'll talk some more with Megan about other stuff. And in the interim, we're going to hear a little, these clips are a little bit dated here, but this is the latest thing I have loaded up from Ron Paul. So here's a message from the pre-birth certificate Trump and Ron Paul. I'll be right back.
We go to Afghanistan, we build a road, we build a school. 2 days later, they blow up the road, they blow up the school, we start building the road and the school again. In the meantime, we can't build schools in Alabama, in New Orleans, in Texas, in New York, my place where we're always fighting to try and get school money. We're spending trillions and trillions of dollars. My thing and my doctrine would be build, build, build. I would like to have him show his birth certificate. And can I be honest with you? I hope he can. Because if he can't, if he can't, and if he wasn't born in this country, which is a real possibility. I'm not saying it happened. I'm saying it's a real possibility, much greater than I thought 2 or 3 weeks ago. Then he has pulled one of the great cons in the history of politics. What's going on in this country, the way we're spending money like drunken sailors, we are just absolutely going, and ultimately we're going to destroy our own freedom.
But
we
they want to
it.
Stop it, even at the cost of shutting down the government.
Well,
that's a possibility. Are you in favor of that?
Excuse me, it's not really shutting down the government. It's cutting costs. The kind of money that you're talking about is peanuts.
You know, the national debt this year is going up $2
trillion. Thank you.
So we have to change our attitude about what government should be doing. And, you know, as a strict constitutionalist, I don't endorse most of our domestic spending, but I don't set out to attack that if I'm going to get us to work out of it. I would go after the foreign stuff, and that's why I think the foreign policy is important. I think that we have a coalition of some Republicans and a lot of Democrats who think we spend too much money overseas and we shouldn't be expanding our wars. So that is a place where the American people should all join in. We're building an infrastructure in Afghanistan because we blew up Afghanistan and Iraq. Both Republicans and Democrats really are responsible for this huge deficit financing. So if only the market could buy that debt, interest rates would go up and the Congress would have to quit spending. But the Fed comes in and buys it and keeps interest rates low. But eventually that turns into price inflation, in which I think you've observed already today a tremendous amount. Gold soaring again today.
I mean, look at all soft commodities, look all day long.
Yeah, and now that is a tax on the people. You know, literally the people are paying, their standard of living is going to go down. And I'm also predicting, and I think we've seen signs of it, interest rates are going to go up. And so this will make the budgetary argument of a few billion dollars nothing compared to the calamity that we're facing. And it's no easy task to get this under control.
I don't know, winning anyone?
Wait a minute. You may not be looking for the promised land, but you might find it anyway. On a one of those over a million names, that's New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Detroit City.
Detroit City.
Dallas.
Dallas.
Pittsburgh, VA.
Pittsburgh, VA.
New York City.
New York City.
Kansas City.
You're tuned to Vince in the Bay.
Análisis de forma de vida completado. La especie es destructiva, invasora, nociva, peligrosa para la integridad del todo. El hombre.
Vince in the Bay.
Vince, you stupid San Francisco 1978 Amber Crombie bitch loving piece of nipple clamp loving butt plug up the ass looking hot dog licking your ass having dog humping squirrel fisting bastard.
I don't get down like that.
Mole S-H-I-T. Deal with it. Oh wait, can't process it. Losers winning. Bye-bye.
I don't get down like that.
You're tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Give us a call, bitches. 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
Hey, it's Vince in the Bay back here. Somebody got the memo. Hey, lady from New Jersey, welcome. Thank you for showing up. Yes, I'm on very early tonight. Nobody knows it, apparently. I tried to put the blast on Twitter, and so I don't think anybody knows I'm on right now, but it's all right. It'll be in the archive. It'll be here for forever and ever, and I'm really stoked to have Megan on with me tonight. She's here representing the film Silver Circle, and we've been talking about all kinds of stuff, including Ron Paul, and to sort of turn it back towards the film here, Megan, I'm wondering, you said the initial sort of genesis for the film came out of the reaction to the financial crisis in 2008, and was it it was specifically Lehman Brothers that that inspired this?
I guess it was just the event when they went down. It was kind of one of those awakenings, especially for someone like Pasha, the director. He has a very strong background in finance and economics, so he was very in tune to the markets, and he realized how much of an effect that was going to have on the economy. So when that started to happen and things started to crumble in terms of the big banking institutions, and whenever quantitative easing started, you know, to become something familiar in economic discussions, that's when he thought it was a really significant moment. Are you hacking up along again?
Oh, yeah. I was talking while I was muted. My bad. I should do it.
Okay.
All right. Okay, let's try this again. I was going to say, so I'm reading the little quick little synopsis here on the movie page, and it says, at the center of corruption is the Federal Reserve, who has gained enormous amounts of control over America's economy with disastrous effects beginning to show. Standing opposite is the band of rebels who have vowed to take back the freedom they once knew, and they won't go down without a fight. Do these rebels now, do they have some sort of metaphorical parallel to folks alive in existence today, inspired by real life peeps, if you will?
Yeah, sure. I guess you could say just, you know, anyone out there who has been talking about things like the Federal Reserve and talking about the screwed up monetary policy that runs this country and who brings up the fact that we're running on nothing but debt right now. I would definitely say those people have inspired it over the past few years. In particular, no one specific. The characters have mostly just come out. We have, I should go ahead and add in the part that we're doing a graphic novel to go along with the film too. So our comic artist did all of the concept art for the characters. So pretty much her specialty is badass females and just really cool, hip-looking characters. So she did the 2D concept art, and then we created the 3D characters from that. But last summer, we did a casting call for extras in the movie, different rebels for the background and things like that. And one of the places we went to find some fun participants was the Free State Project, one of their events up in New Hampshire. And you could definitely say that a lot of the activists that are involved with Free State Project are an inspiration for the characters in the film. You could also say Ron Paul was a big inspiration for the characters in the film. And like I said, just anyone that's out there speaking the truth about how our country is being run right now.
That's awesome. Speaking of the Free State Project, are you going to Porkfest this year?
I wouldn't miss it for the world. It's one of the best parts of my summer.
I'm going to try to go, I think.
It's so fun. It's just such an incredible, incredible time spent with people who, you know, not everyone agrees that's there on anything. I feel like it's a world of contrarians.
I thought they all can agree on one thing. They all like to smoke good weed.
Yeah, they're from what I've seen, I'll plead the fifth on participation, but it's plentiful at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. They do believe in being able to put whatever you want into your body as long as you're not hurting anyone else or obviously getting behind the wheel of a car, which would be classified under possibly potentially hurting anyone else. So it's a very safe environment. It's also very family friendly, though, too. It's not just weed smoking and, you know, black market beer going around. It's mostly family
hookers?
Activities during
Are
the day.
Hookers?
Not that I know of. However, I'm not.
Okay, I'll bring them. I'll bring the hookers then. I'll take care of that. No party would be complete without hookers. Come on.
I mean,
right,
hookers
are capitalists too. Hookers are sovereign individuals. They have their own wares that they peddle. And hey, you know, no judgments, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you have the freedom to do what you want with your body, put in your body, how you want to use your body, as long as you're not hurting anyone else. I do have a few extra opinions on that, but we'll save that for another day. Whenever I'm not talking about Silver Circle, I'd love to call in and really fire them at you, but. I won't
hey,
do
another
that.
Time, another time.
Another time. actually,
I have, I don't know, are you familiar with Christina from Libertopia?
Yeah, the girl who did the documentary.
Yeah, she's going to be my guest tomorrow night.
Oh, excellent. Well, she did a really kick-ass job.
Are you in that film by any chance?
No, I am not. And if I am, I didn't know I was.
are you in the Free State Project technically?
I'm signed up as a mover, so I plan on moving there within, you know, however long it takes me to get there and be living the lifestyle I want to live.
It's what, like 20 miles? Come on.
Oh yeah, it's not far at all.
It's not going anywhere. It's right there. Come on, it's almost like you're there as it is.
I know. Well, I lived in Rhode Island before Boston, so everyone in the Free State Project that I talked to was pissed. They're going, really? Really? You stopped in Boston? You couldn't go a little bit further? But I'll make it up there. I signed the petition, so I will move at some point. I have to move by like 20-something, 2015 or 2016.
What happens if you don't move? Do they like...
They come and take my firstborn child.
Oh, I thought maybe they just snatch you, but that's just your kid. That's cool. It's all good. That's so rad. Yeah, I definitely want to check it out. I've certainly kept my eye on the Free Staters and all their little. I see the little club you guys got going on over there. I know what's happening.
Yeah, it's actually at Pork Fest. Silver Circle will be there. We're actually going to be. We'll have Silver. We'll have some never before seen clips from our movie, which only people at Pork Fest are going to see for the first time.
Nice.
Which is exciting for everyone that's going. And there's a good possibility we're going to have some free beer for everyone that day that we're showing off the clips. So if you're going to be around, that's definitely an event.
And I'll bring the weed, blow, and hookers.
Okay. All right.
So set. We're set, kids. Pork Fest, okay. Be there. 2011. Oh, man. I'm seriously stoked. This is so awesome that I've had back-to-back two different films, both liberty-oriented, and I'm really, really interested in seeing the completed project. And so you're anticipating by the end of this year it'll be complete?
Yeah, we have our set date as of right now for finalizing the film is towards the fall. We have a deadline of September 23rd, I believe, which is the late entries for the Sundance Film Festival. So that's going to be our first major film submission this fall. And then following Sundance is South by Southwest deadline, which is in December. So we're, you know, crossing our fingers that we can perform really well at Sundance and South by Southwest. And once we find out the outcome of both of those film festivals, Hopefully we get in there and we'll be making our premiere through the festivals. And then after that, we're really hoping to do, we're looking at about a 15 theater release right now across the country following the film festival outcomes.
Do they still have Slam Dance?
Where?
In Park City. Like, I remember, I used to be a big-time film geek. I went to film school, and I made little short films and stuff. And so I was all into that, and I know for a long time Park City used to be, what was I saying? Park City.
Park City Slam Dance?
Slam Dance, yes. Okay, so, you know, around Park City, when they have Sundance, there's, like, all these, like, little... It spawned all these, like, little satellite festivals, and the first major one to compete with it was Slam Dance. And so, like, whenever I would submit my films, I'd always get rejected from Sundance, but I'd send them out to all of them just so I'd have an excuse to go to Park City during that week to party, no matter what. So I don't know if you guys just blanket submit them. That's what I did when I was... I made two short films that I got out there into festivals, and when I was really gung ho into it, you know, I was sending them out to everything that had the word film festival at the end of it. I sent out a tape to, and it sucks because nowadays you don't even have to send tapes. Probably you just like send them a file.
Yeah, I don't think that sucks. I think that makes it pretty easy for you.
But no, that's awesome. That's what's up.
Well, we'll look into Slam Dance.
Slam Dance.
We're looking at the website right now, and the first
Slam
thing
Dance.
I see is a big anarchy symbol.
What?
Yeah.
What happened to Slam Dance? Are they
anarchists on the bandwagon?
No, but see, when people say put up the anarchy sign or whatever, or call themselves anarchists, I don't know what that means anymore. I really don't. Because sometimes, like, a lot of these kids out here, especially in the Bay Area, like, I remember when, when we first announced the attack on Iraq, they all these, like, black bloc anarchist kids, you know, basically just punks with, like, big black boots and black clad tight outfits and black handkerchiefs over the necks, you know, overturning garbage cans and stuff, and you know, just acting like fools. And they say they're anarchists. They're just a bunch of rabble rouser idiots.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I think of anarchy,
I
think more of like anarcho-capitalism, where it's like just a total lack of government altogether, like a complete vacuum, no government at all.
Yeah. I've actually sat next to, you know, 50 plus, 60 plus year old people, you know, around a nice dinner table, and you hear them say, you know, I'm an anarchist at heart. And it's just like, I wish some of the people in the mainstream culture could hear someone like that say that, so they could understand anarchy isn't burning trash cans and dumpsters and throwing glass bottles into windows. That's
chaos. That's what I call chaos.
Exactly.
And destruction. Chaos and destruction, pretty much. Yeah. And vandalism, stupidity.
Yeah. Immaturity. And the complete... You don't understand the fundamentals of anarchy. And so I totally agree with you on that one.
Yeah. Get back to the fundamentals, kids. Come on. Read a book.
Right.
We have an anarchist bookstore right down the street on Haight Street, right down the street from me. I'm afraid to go in there. I don't know what their definition of anarchy is. It might be a completely different one I've never even heard of.
That could be scary.
But it bills itself as the anarchist bookstore, and it's on Haight Street. God knows what that's going to be like, right?
Mm. You should go check it out, I think. I think that'd be a great topic of discussion.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to...
Maybe ask the bookstore owner to come on and talk to you.
I don't know if I want to go down that rabbit hole. So what else is going on with you? You seem to be, you know, outside of just being involved with this film, I know I've seen you around the activist community. What other sort of things are you involved in at the moment?
Well, I'd pretty much say 90% of my focus is on Silver Circle right now, just really excited to do the best we possibly can and basically just make a huge move in the Liberty Movement on top of making a huge move in, you know, just the mainstream media, and hopefully just get people to pick up on the story. And even if they watch it just for shits and giggles, at least by the time they get done watching this movie, they're going to know what the Federal Reserve is, and they're going to have some sort of idea of what real money means. And on top of that, they'll have a good time and hopefully want to see a sequel. But when I'm not doing that, I'm usually, well, as of recently, I've just been trying to get tapped back into the, you know, Ron Paul community and do them as best as I can to spread the message. I work with some student groups in the area. I used to have my own student group of my own back in Rhode Island, and I just try to help out student groups, give them advice, give them event ideas, try to set them up with, you know, really cool Austrian economics speakers on their campuses. And then whenever I get time, I'll make a fun YouTube video and talk about Ron Paul and how awesome he is. But aside from that, I mean, you just start running out of time. There's just not enough hours in the day to be the best liberty activist in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
It gets tough.
I'm curious about, it seems that, like I said, I have you on my show tonight and another Liberty-themed filmmaker on my show tomorrow, and it seems to me that there's obviously a little genre of filmmaking that is bubbling to the surface here, because I'm a huge fan of Free Talk Live. That's been my window into this whole community to mm-hmm. begin with, and I it seems like that's sort of like the flagship radio model for that sort of audience, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense that there would be a filmmaking branch of the Liberty Movement as well. And it seems that this film and films like Libertopia, and I'm sure you could probably rattle off plenty of others. I know there's other filmmakers like the Motorhome Diaries guys mm-hmm. and all these other folks like, what's his name? The cop. Who's the guy? The guy in Texas, the crazy guy in Texas that baits the cops, cop block or something
cop
like
block?
That.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like you got that sort of like your Liberty reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
And you got those wacky kids up there in New Hampshire who are just, I think in a lot of ways, at least it comes across to me that these kids in a lot of situations are just antagonizing the poor officials at some of these city halls or whatever they are. I mean, it's fun. I'm all for trolling, and I think that's basically what it is sometimes with these kids. I think it amounts to a lot of rabble rousing and trolling. But mixed in with all that is good natured fun and a point. And there's always a message, I think, with a lot of the people that are really the more standout vocal members of that community. And it's really great to keep discovering new voices in that community. And I definitely now that I've been exposed to this film and I've met you and I've talked to Pasha, and now I'm going to meet this girl Christina. It seems like there's like at every turn there's new characters that pop up and people that aren't necessarily in New Hampshire. And that's the thing is for a lot of folks that listen to that show, I bet they in some ways feel alienated because they're like, oh geez, I must not really be a Liberty person if I'm not in New Hampshire. Gosh golly, well then mm-hmm. I might as well just give up. And I'm kind of like, you know what? Fuck it. If you're not there, why can't you just like keep it? You know, it's obviously more of a state of mind than anything. And I'm always encouraged when I meet people that are not there and that are outside. Like Christina's in L.A. Like, in fact, she wasn't even a libertarian before she did that film. She turned into one because she did that documentary.
Yeah, which I love that story. I love hearing that.
And I'm sold on it too. Yeah, and my window into that community was actually before even Free Talk Live. I found Free Talk Live was Ron Paul. That's why I kind of keep bringing it back to him, because he was the first person the first politician I ever like perked up my ears and was like, hey, wow, this guy's like makes some sense actually. And I think I saw some YouTube clip where he said something that to me just sounded like completely logical, plain simple English. And it made total sense to me. And it was probably something about monetary policy or spending or something, just typical issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, right on. That guy makes sense. He's a Republican? What the hell? And
pretty popular reaction.
Yeah, and I was like, right on. And I heard was cackles in the background, like people like laugh, like his colleagues like laughing at him, you know, mm-hmm. like they would cut away to the audience on C-SPAN or whatever, and these guys are just like smiling. They're just like, there's silly old Ron. Oh, what a goofball Ron, Dr. No.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, whatever, dude. And dudes. So hearing him definitely piqued my interest, and I started looking into this libertarian nonsense, and I came to a conclusion that I'm not any political party. If anything, I would say I'm a libertarian, but a small L libertarian. And I like the term liberty-minded individual because it's so vague and you know, it's kind of like the name of my show, Disorderly Conduct. It's like when the cops can't get you on something that's already on the books, they just chalk it up to disorderly conduct, you know, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And then you could pretty much have a conversation with, I try whenever I write for the blogs and things like that, for Silver Circle, I try my best not to use that kind of collective language saying, you know, the conservatives, we as libertarians, anything like that. I just stick into the liberty-minded or liberty-based. I mean, you can't really go wrong with that, and no one's going to write you off in an argument immediately if you use mm-hmm. that as your ideology.
Yeah. Hey, we got a caller with us now. Let me bring him on. I think this is Fat Red Dragon. Hey, Fat Red Dragon, you're on with Vince and Megan. What's going on, dude?
Hey, Vince. Hey, Megan. How you guys doing tonight?
Good, thank you.
Doing swell, bro. What's up?
Nothing, man. I just wanted to call in. I got another few minutes before the 420 Grindhouse and all that shit, so I just figured I'd show you some love and check out what you were doing on your show, man.
Well, I'm hanging out with Megan. She's part of the film Silver Circle, an animated film that it's a liberty-minded film,
and it
has to do with the Federal Reserve. And I'll let Megan take it from there.
Oh God, yeah, tell me about that.
Your name is Fire Breathing Dragon?
Was
that right?
Close. He
just
once was a Fire Breathing Dragon. Now he's just a Fat Red Dragon.
Oh, so. The Fat Red Dragon. Okay.
You can just call me FRD for sure. That's fine.
Okay. Well, basically, we're making an animated film about an economic dystopia in 2019, and a group of rebels are trying to destroy the Federal Reserve Bank.
Really?
And that's the film in a nutshell. And you can definitely read more about it at silvercirclemovie.com and have all your listeners tonight check it out too.
Let me write that down right now. Silvercirclemovie.com?
Yep.
Okay. Hold on, I write slowly. Silver. Cool, Vince. Well, how did you find this girl?
I met her at WonderCon. Remember a little while back? It was
like a month ago, yeah.
Yeah, I was chit-chatting about that one night. And I actually met a lot of folks at WonderCon. I made a lot of contacts. And I'm hoping to milk those contacts for some content in the near future. I've definitely met a lot of folks during that one day. I was only there it was like a whole day. I walked around there and met all kinds of people. I got video of Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, that's right.
Chewbacca. Who else was there, Megan? Who were you excited about when you were at WonderCon?
You really think I got outside of that booth with the 30,000, 50,000 people that were there?
Yeah, you didn't get around and do anything? Wait a second. Who took all those pictures on your website? I saw like tons of WonderCon photos.
Yeah, I took them, but I think that was all just stuff that was
all
going on our hour. Yeah,
we just had tons of
interesting people coming by. Oh, I went outside once and saw the Stormtrooper family reunion where there was about 30 stormtroopers out on the stairs
yeah,
outside.
I saw that too. That was amazing, actually. It's good to see the whole family back together. They look great. They all look
yeah.
really great.
Yeah,
I'm holding up well.
I like how Tommy is finally filling out his suit.
Yeah, he totally. He took him a while, but he's now finally full fledged in the La Familia, if you will.
Yeah.
Seriously, you could tell at least you could tell what he was trying to be. He didn't just like he didn't look like some guy running around with a white helmet and a towel.
Yeah, and Grandma
which is how
back,
I was dressed.
Grandma still seems to be leading the pack, so you know we're just really happy that she's doing good too.
You guys were you know what? You guys were right, really close to the booth of Princess Leia impersonators, but they were all Princess Leia's from the Jabba the Hutt outfit. Thing you're talking about?
I didn't see that one.
It was like Slave Leia Inc. or something. It was just.
I've seen so many wild ass things at these comic conventions.
Oh
nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing really surprises me.
Well, the greatest thing about these conventions is that basically anybody with a checkbook and the ambition can get a booth, right? I mean.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting a booth next year and doing my show from there. It would be so fucking insane.
The characters I'd fly out to Cali just to
everybody,
do the show with you from the booth, man. I'd fly
you
out
should.
To be with
you.
You
should, bro. Seriously, I was envisioning the whole thing. It's a huge party. It's a geek fest. But there's, like, hot chicks, and everybody's dressed up. It's like Halloween. But it's all adults, though. It's kind of like everybody gets a chance to be a kid again for a day type of thing.
Yeah, WonderCon was a little bit more adult-oriented. We've been to several comic conventions, and New York Comic Con and MegaCon down in Orlando there was a lot of families and little kids. But WonderCon was kind of nice because you could actually have conversation with people and not have little rugrats running around.
Yeah.
But it was a really great show. Tons of people.
Oh my God! I have so much video. I posted one clip of Pasha, but I'm gonna like string together all this stuff into a montage one of these days because I just went nuts. I just took my time walking around, got as much footage as I could. Everybody's mm-hmm. willing too, and because people put so much time and effort into their costumes, they this is the payoff for them. This is their one day to be a celebrity. It's fun. It's fun to witness. It's like, especially if you're a voyeur, you just like watching. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's take another call here. I dare ask who is on from area code 715. You're on the air with Vince and Megan. What's going on?
Hi, is this Vince?
This is Vince. Yes. Who are you and what's on your mind tonight? Or not.
Do you have anything on your mind?
He might be queuing something up. Sometimes folks call in. Every once in a while you get the troll that calls in and they have to Rickroll you or something.
I love Rickrolls.
Yeah, you know what? I wish I had it queued up right now, but I actually had one. I got hit pretty hard with trolls a couple of weeks ago. And mm-hmm. A lot of people tried to Rickroll me, but it was like, you know, they're playing it off their iPod or something, holding it up to the phone. It just sounded all tinny and scratchy and stupid. But this one kid called in, he just sang it. He sang the whole thing, the whole first chorus and verse, you know, a cappella. And it was actually pretty good. And I tried to sing along with him. Because I know the words. I mean, I used to love that song before it was Rickrolled and it was all popular and that stuff. I remember when that came out, I was like, I liked it. It was like a guilty pleasure back then. I thought it was a great song. And I thought it was actually kind of funny that it became this pop culture thing. But yeah, I tried to sing with him, but if anything, it taught me that this BTR interface is not necessarily in sync. So like you hear me, and I hear you, but if we talk over each other and we try to say the same thing, we'll be a little bit off sync when it plays back or people hear back to it. So it just sounded, I just sounded garbled, which I guess I kind of ended up ruining the tail end of it because I let him do it for a while and then I wanted to join in. But yeah, it was classic. And yeah, I got hit really hard with trolls for a while and it's certainly tapered off now. But But yeah, every once in a while, a few of them sneak back in. So they keep you on your toes, though. They're great. They're great to have around, though. Like I got rated one night. It was like over 700 live listeners. I had like 150 callers, and it was just one after the other. I mean, it was obviously like the same 30 people or whatever calling over and over.
Uh-huh.
But it was just nonstop, and it was great for the improv skills, though. Like I totally, by the end of the night, I was just like, boom! I was just firing on all cylinders. It was taking it, you know, trolling them back.
We kind of wish for a little bit more troll action and some haters on the Silver Circle side. All these people just keep agreeing with us and yeah. loving what we're doing. It's kind of, you know, we're looking for some people that want to put up a little bit of a fight.
Have you sent it to Ben Bernanke?
No, we have not. We have actually been tracked by the Boston Federal Reserve IT department, though. We've noticed some of our web traffic was last year. We traced it back to the Fed, the Boston Fed, which was pretty interesting that they, you know, were peeking around at what we were doing.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know you're doing something right if the Fed is like,
yeah.
if you're on their radar.
We're hardcore.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of hardcore, what kind of music are you into?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, we're a very eclectic bunch at Silver Circle. I personally am a huge, huge hip-hop fan.
Mm.
Anything from underground to contemporary hip hop, as long as it's not crap. And Pasha's very into heavy metal music. Usually we have this kind of battle of sounds in our studio during the day when we're all working. You'll hear some heavy metal coming from Pasha's office. We'll have the old school hip hop station on out in the main studio area. And then our render specialist might have her Pearl Jam playing from her Pandora on her computer. So it's kind of fun sometimes. There's just this huge mess of music going on.
Are you familiar with The Coup?
With The Coup?
Yeah.
That sounds familiar. I feel like I just heard about that recently. Tell me more.
Well, The Coup, they're based out of Oakland. It's basically Boots Riley. He's one guy. He's got a real big afro. He's a friend of mine. I've done videos for him in the past. I did a whole YouTube channel for his band, The Coup, and they've been around since like 93. Now, he's more socialist-leaning, and he's like, you know, he's out in Oakland, and he's down with all this like Black Panthers type-ish stuff, but he's, you know, so I don't necessarily jive with him like on the specifics a lot of social and political issues, but he is a great political and social commentator, and he certainly has a unique lens in which he views society, and he's one of the best storytellers in hip hop and funk, as far as I'm concerned. And
are you saying the coup or the coup?
The coup, as like coup d'état,
okay.
COUP, and so he's more socialist leaning. But I think that ultimately socialists and say libertarians, you know, essentially have the same common end goal. I guess it is, you would say, but they just have completely opposite means to get there.
Oh yeah,
and that's the thing I honestly want to see nurtured more is people spotlighting the commonality more so than just hating and pointing out the negative so much. I mean, there's just so much negative. I mean, it's so easy to do it. I mean, I do it all the time. I love to do it. It's fun, and I'm always trying to find new creative ways to hate on shit. But mm-hmm. you know, at a certain point, it's like, come on, give me a break. You know, we're all humans here. We all have, you know, basic, you know, human instinct and, you know, all these rules and these little theories and stuff we dream up are all fine and dandy and are great. But at the end of the day, there's, you know, I hate that saying too, at the end of the day, it should be every day. Anyways, this is everything from The Coup. Check it out, Megan. We'll be right back.
Then it was just about time for the part of the close when the hinges went to flying off the motherfucking door.
Superior sound quality.
Jesus, that didn't sound like superior sound quality. Let's try this track. This is a cool track. This is actually live. This is a great track. This is actually this is live in Rhode Island. I recorded this. There's also a video of it online. This is The Coup live in Providence. Have you ever been to? I don't know if it's still there. There's this venue in Providence. I'm trying to think the name of it. Oh fuck! I think they changed the name of it recently. But whatever.
Jerky's?
What's that?
Jerky's?
Not ringing a bell now.
It starts with an L.
Lupo's? No.
Lupo's. Uh-huh.
Is that it? Yeah, Lupo's.
Lupo's Heartbreak Hotel. Yep.
Yes.
They have tons. It's like one of the best venues in Providence.
Oh, absolutely. I when I was living in New York, I took the train. The Coup. I met Boots from The Coup through a friend of a friend who used to do videos for him. And they were on tour with Les Claypool, and they came through the East Coast, and I followed them from, where was it, like New York up to, they played a show in Providence, and I took the train up to Providence and walked from the train station to that show, went to the show, and like had a blast, and then walked back to the train station and got on like the, I don't know, 4 a.m. train or whatever it was, it goes back to New York. And it was worth it, though. It was a great show, and The Coup played, and Skerrick, the sax player from Les Claypool, came on stage and performed with them. So this is live from, 2006? Yeah, The Coup. This shouldn't sound crappy like the other one did. All right, I'll be right back.
I get to tell y'all a little bit of things that I believe in. Go like this. I'm anti-imperial, anti-trust, anti-gun, the shit don't bust. Anti-corporate, anti-my essence, anti-sorting, anti-depressant, but I'm not pro-popping them. I'm provocative and pro-stopping them. FBI operatives who professional at black bear pals hand you a sin that you can't put down. I'm also anti-narco, anti-vice, 911 months of anti-Christ, anti-social point instinct, fingers of anti-finger machine, proletarian, funkadelic, parliamentarian, probable, in the 21st century, running up in Congress saying, fuck it all, but bring the people with you, that's a protocol, it's needed joyful like jailbreak, the whole world is anti-United States, check it out, anticipate the antivenom, move your antibodies to this revolution rhythm, we gon' be fucking with a pro-union, but most laws they bite. Anti-motherfuckers crossing the strike. Take a look around me, poor or good, but you can't change shit. Ride the bitch, I'm a ride the bitch. And you don't really wanna ride the bitch. Now do you really wanna ride the bitch? Or would you even wanna ride the bitch? Don't ride the bitch, ride the bitch. Now you don't really wanna ride the bitch. Now do y'all really wanna ride the bitch? Hey, Scare, gon' help us on this one right there. Break the shit right there.
Earth is my birthright. We salivate. It's the sound of the bell. I come sick of your
rail, so you can tell when I'm shooting up on my politicians, touch the bell when I shoot. Ferris Bueller, Billy, give me all the loot. Who's watching, pimping me, now my digital compute. Chilling in the house of chill review. It's your very capital, the purple pinstripe suit. Bachelors and comics, my capital and comics. Jackets and bombers, I'm up on the leg. When oozing at my tears, just get a little fear. Make my name the Mallory, so I can get wet. Savage on you with me, less than seducing. Hair top producing, silly little music. Girl, I'm all come up with a 4-4-12 comrade. The box here, fold up. Turn down the strip with a bitch in the render. We don't give a fuck if we missing a pizza. Mixing in a blender, you ain't helping to the city. Can't be seen by coke hitters or bubbles and fizz. Ain't no microbiotic, chemical collide. The political symphonic, low or cold narcotic. Something much more punk that we plotting. Come and get some if you ain't got it. Indonesia, China, why? Come on here, Tommy, they lie. Take my shit, we gon' act the fire. Mama told the dirty, so we act the fire.
Oh, damn. Yeah, it just cuts off right there. It was like from a live recording, but you get the point. You get the picture.
Number.
And that's the coup from Oakland, the Bay. And I'm Vince in the Bay, and I'm back with Megan. She's from the film Silver Circle. And we are, we've been chatting it for, wow, a good over an hour here, Megan. You've been a real
trooper. Over an hour.
Yeah. You've been a real trooper. I really appreciate you coming through and hanging out and, you know, chopping it up about everything. I wish Pasha could have come through, but maybe next time, you know, we can get him or both of you.
Yeah, definitely. We would love to do that.
So who are okay, let me get this straight. All right. The guy you did the motion capture and all that. Did you record the voices and everything on at that time too, or did you come back and overdub the voices later? Do the same actors use voices? Like, how does
that
work?
it all happened at the same time. Whenever we were doing the performance capture, we were also recording all of the audio simultaneously. On the custom made head cams that we did, there were some mini boom mics on there, and then we had some mics up into the ceilings as well that picked up on the audio. So that is all done. We've had plenty of inquiries too, asking, you know, do you need voice talent? We can help. It could be something we might need in the future, but as of right now, we're all set.
Hey, if you need somebody for the trailer to go, in a world where the Federal Reserve takes a dump on society.
That's good. Well, I'll
monetary mayhem, explosions, romance.
That's
Silver
good.
Circle plans to take Liberty filmmaking to a whole new level. I don't know. You know, let's mix it up there, you know.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
So tell me about the explosions and romance, and are they involved in the same scene?
No. Basically, there's an investigator from a newly formed Department of Housing Stability in 2019. It exists. It's a branch from the Federal Reserve because, like we said before, the Fed has grown in power and it's much more powerful, has a bigger strain over the population. And he is searching this arson case that starts off the film. And one of the lead rebels, her name is Zoe. She's basically the lead role in the whole entire film. You'll see her face a lot around the website. And
we'll just say that they take a liking to each other, and obviously there's some conflict of interest there with him working for the Fed and her fighting the Fed. And then in terms of explosions, I'm not going to reveal anything, but there are some really exciting moments in the film.
I'm guessing Ben Bernanke's head combusts spontaneously
end of the film. You have to remember, this is 2019, so Bernanke is no longer the chairman of the Federal Reserve.
You know who would be a great, great chairman of the Fed?
Who?
Ron Paul.
Yeah.
I was thinking he should be at least like the Tim Geithner's position, the Secretary of Treasury.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be badass? You're just like, holy shit.
I think that'd be pretty appropriate. He would definitely run things the way they probably should be run, which means not at all. He would be retired very quickly.
That's what I'm saying.
But he's the head of that monetary subcommittee. So that's one good thing. He has some oversight over Ben Bernanke, but, I mean, let's be honest. What can he really do in that position except, you know, wag his finger at him and tell him no?
There's a reason why Ben Bernanke and Alan Greenspan and Paul Volcker and all these guys, there's a reason why these guys never flinch. They never sweat. They always look calm, cool, under control. You never see these guys show any emotion at all. They're totally in control of things, at least on the surface.
Yeah.
It's because they're running the show. Those are the guys calling the shots, you know?
Yeah, and even,
more so than,
in Silver Circle, we don't even mention the federal government at all. You have no idea who the president is in 2019 whenever... Throughout the whole movie, we don't really touch on it at all. Our main and sole focus is the Federal Reserve, because we're not here to take any partisan side. We're not here to basically preach any specific ideology. We're just kind of pinpointing the bad guy. And it's kind of a really great bad guy, especially in the comic world and in the animation world. I mean, this ominous pseudo-government agency, you know, that's functioning behind the curtain. I mean, how could you get a better bad guy than that?
Oh, yeah. So do we get to see nudity in this? Is that part of the romance?
Nope. We're actually going for a PG-13 rating.
Director's cut? Director's cut. And include it in the bonus footage?
Well, we already shot the film back in September, and I can say I experienced no nudity. So there are some steamy love scenes.
All right, cool.
And they're, fun and frisky, but we definitely are keeping all the clothes on this time around.
Is this an interracial thing? I can't tell if that guy's black or not, or is that intentional?
Yeah, he was. Well, we had another character before, and it was kind of funny how he evolved, because he's supposed to be the macho hero, kind of very stealth man in the film, and the first character just wasn't making the cut. He just kind of seemed a little dweeby and didn't really have a way with the ladies, I guess, if you were to put it nicely. So we started searching around for different actors, and I actually brought it up one day that Shamar Moore was just a very attractive man, and I said maybe we can mess around and see if we can create some sort of character that's based off of Shamar Moore. And sure enough, we have the character we have today, who is just much more appealing to the eye, and it just makes the relationship between the two a lot more believable.
That would be Jay you're talking about, right?
Yes, Jay Nelson.
Jay, with Investigation as a sixth sense. That's a tongue twister. Sixth Sense. Narration's not easy, kids. All right, don't try this at home. Jay knows that something doesn't line up with a recent arson case. The deeper he digs, the closer he comes to uncovering a truth that will forever shake his convictions.
That's Jay.
I like his.
And isn't he a good-looking fella?
He is. I like his style. He's pretty, just simple, clean cut, just to the point. Zoe, oh yeah, the wild child. after losing
Jay's
her brother.
Jay's got a little bit more swag nowadays, but go ahead and continue on. Zoe,
our lovely
Zoe, lead.
The heroine, I guess you would say. She's not on heroin, she's the heroine.
She is the heroine,
After losing her brother, Zoe must now fight for justice as well as the freedoms she once knew. Her clever tactics, agile escapes, and aggressive intellect can only mean one thing for those who have done her and the people wrong. Oh, yeah. Who's this perverted, dirty old man in the corner? George. Who's that? Oh, that's his dad? Jay's dad?
Oh, that's Jay's dad. He's not so much a perverted man. He's a sweetheart.
He looks cool. Like, I want to just, like, hang out with George. Forget these other characters. They can go fight the Federal Reserve. I want to hang out and smoke dope with George and just talk smack about all these idiots.
Yeah, I have a feeling whenever you do watch the movie, you'll like George even more. He's got some really cool moments in the movie that just make him a really likable character.
And what's up with the mafia-looking dudes? What's their deal? What's their damn... Victor Brandt?
That is the chairman of the Fed in 2019.
Oh, this guy takes over for Helicopter Ben?
Yes. And then behind him is Quill, who is his ice-cold henchman, who basically does all the dirty work for him.
Is he Russian? He looks Russian.
He doesn't have a Russian accent, so if he is, it's not, you know, first generation by any means.
If the banality of evil has a visual equivalent, it's Quill. Quill, yeah, right on. And who's the spunky little chick with the mohawk? Bernie, what's her deal?
She is our pot-smoking lesbian in the movie.
Oh, there's my girlfriend in the film. That's who I'm going to be fapping to during the picture.
All right. She's the hot shit, rolling doobies, waving her rainbow flag. She's not a lead role, but she definitely has some really fun moments in the film where she gets to kind of add her spunky two cents in.
She's always there to lend a helping hand and will take down anyone who tries to hurt the rebel family. And who's this kid behind her? Who's this little dude? Nathan.
That's Nathan. He's one of the rebel leaders of the rebel underground. So a lot of...
He looks like a young little kid. He can't be more than like 15.
Yeah, I think his character has evolved a tad bit too since we put up this character page. He looks a little bit more manly and mature now. But he's just someone who is definitely a skeptic of outsiders, and he's very loyal, and there may or may not be a love interest.
Wait a second. He has grown fond of one rebel who's out of his reach, though he knows it's probably for the best. I think I already have an idea who that might be.
Ooh, you're catching on.
Yeah, it's Jay. I can tell. Jay doesn't swing that way. He'll never get Jay. Jay has it out for Zoe, and Zoe, I have a feeling Zoe doesn't really like anybody. She's just out for herself. She's just like, I'm taking down, I'm all about the people. Zoe's about the people. Yeah.
She is very dedicated.
She's going to break Jay's heart because ultimately it's about the people. It's not about Jay. Sorry. And it's a love triangle because Jay is now breaking Nathan's heart at the same time.
I love this interpretation and guess you have going on here. It's interesting.
Yeah,
you could
so
maybe create
it's
your
so,
own little side story.
Yeah, it's so easy to read into the subtext here, sister. Come on, are you kidding me? All right, okay. Let's take a call here. I got Phil O'Platt on the line. Phil, what's up? You're on with Vince and Megan from Silver Circle. What's going on, dude?
Well, I haven't seen the film. How do I get this film? Is it on YouTube or?
No, Phil, we're submitting to some of the top tier film festivals this fall. So after we find out the outcome of Sundance and South by Southwest, we'll have an idea of our theater release, which will come right at the beginning of 2012. Right now we're pricing out a 15 theater release and seeing what it would take to get that kind of exposure. on the big screen. So you'll be able to buy some popcorn and sit down in one of those uncomfortable chairs to watch the movie at the end of this year.
Well, I'm curious as to some of the content of the film. Like, for instance, does it explain how the Federal Reserve creates the principal and they loan it out and you immediately owe the principal plus interest and they never create the interest. So there is no physically possible way that everybody can fulfill their debts.
Yeah, we definitely cover the whole idea of fractional reserve banking. Obviously, we're not too explicit with the way we explain it because this movie isn't meant to be 100% educational and hard-hitting. It's supposed to be entertaining while also giving people an idea about what the Federal Reserve is, how it functions. But you'll definitely see whenever the movie comes out that there are a couple moments where you really get, let's say if you weren't as educated as you were on central banking, you would definitely get a really good glimpse into how the whole system works.
Yeah, but it just doesn't say, look, you know, they create the principal. You immediately owe the principal plus interest, and they never create the interest. So how can everybody...
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally get it, Phil. No, we both totally understand that. And that is definitely... explained in the film, you'll see it when it comes out. But that's not something that's lost on the filmmakers at all. They fully understand that, and I do too. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It just doesn't make any sense. And what's amazing is that people such as myself, I've lived probably over half my life, not even realizing that fact. And it's ridiculous. But actually, they could argue that right now they aren't they aren't lending out money at any percentage interest rate right now. The discount window rate has been zero, flat, for like over 2 years now. But I appreciate the call, Phil. Anything you want to follow up on there, Megan?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. Definitely check us out online, Phil, at silvercirclemovie.com. And if you're interested in reading more about our take on the Fed and things like that, we do have a political blog called silverunderground.com, and we cover a lot of current events and monetary policy and the latest news from the Fed.
Word up.
Solutions for monetary policy?
Sure. We talk about just about everything that covers the central banking system in America, central banking system in other countries, as well as current monetary policy. So you can hop on there and have a heyday sifting through our archive blogs and checking out the latest.
So you said Pasha has a background, the director Pasha has a background in the financial industry. Is that what sort of capacity was he involved in?
Yeah, he actually graduated from MIT with his master's in finance and 3D graphic visualization. So he's been, knee deep in this stuff for a large part of his life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And the film's, he's been working on the film for over 2 years now?
Yep. We're going into year three, but the film actually wasn't in progress in terms of production until... we didn't get the script started until last summer. It was just a lot of concept work that went on before we actually kicked in the screenwriter. And, you know, we just shot the film in September. So we started building an audience and talking about the film way earlier because as independent filmmakers, you kind of have to build your audience ahead of time because you don't have the huge budget of print and advertising that, you know, things like Avatar had, where you know people are going to show up in the movie theater. We have to build the audience beforehand and hope that a fraction of them show up in the movie theater later.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, Phil, anything, did that satisfy your curiosity?
Well, I was wondering if she could sum up what the solution to monetary policy would be.
You want to know? I guess he wants to know outside of the film, Megan. What's your personal stance on it? What do you think it should be replaced with? The gold standard? What are your thoughts?
Well, first, Phil, I should also address the fact that the movie is called Silver Circle, so a lot of the movie revolves around alternative currency. So I think one of the best answers that you'll find in the film, as well as you could find in my own personal thoughts, is competition. I mean, letting the free market run. And as soon as that happens, you'll see what will become money. You'll see what the people want and need is money. Well, I can't answer that question because one day it could be seashells and another day it could be tennis shoes. I have no idea. I'm not a fortune teller.
Did you say seashells?
I said seashells.
Wow. If I could find... Oh, I can't hit the mark in time. Here it is. She sells seashells by the seashore. Yeah, tongue twisters.
Do you want to play tongue twisters? Sure.
Cool. This is
Does Phil want to play too?
What's that?
Phil, you could play
and then Phil could play. Phil, do you want to play tongue twisters?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go Phil first and then Megan. This is just a little thing I like to do to break up the monotony of the show sometimes. And Phil, you've never played tongue twisters, but I think y'all know more or less how it works. In fact, this will explain it. Hang on, just check this out.
It's time for Tongue Twisters with Vincent the Bay. Now say red leather, yellow leather 5 times fast.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Fat frogs flying past fast. She sells seashells by the seashore.
She sells seashells by the seashore.
Say toy boat 5 times fast.
Toy boat. Toy boat. All right.
I scream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream.
I scream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream.
Shirley shall see the sunshine soon.
Shirley shall see the sunshine soon.
Dudes and dudettes, tongue twisters, and tonight participating, it's going to be Phil and Megan. Both will be participating in tongue twisters tonight. Play 3 tongue twisters. If you get 3 shots at each tongue twister, if you complete all 3, you get a free prize based on where you're calling in from. So let's start with the first one. This is tongue twister number 1. I'm going to play this, then I'm going to give Megan a chance at it, and then Phil will get a chance at it, because ladies first, right, Phil?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And Megan, are you ready for this, or are you asleep?
I'm always prepared.
All right, cool. All right, here we go. Let's start off with this one. Here's tongue twister number 1. I'll play it, and then you can just repeat it after it's over. All right, tongue twister number 1.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Do I have to say it more than once?
No, you just have to say it once. And let's see if judges, was that correct? No. That's
yes, it
actually,
was.
Yeah, it was. I'm sorry, I hit the wrong button. My bad. Correct. Wow, competitive. You mad, bro? You mad, bro?
No.
Sorry, that's something I picked. That's something I picked. Something I picked up from the trolls. All right, so she got that one. And are you ready? Are you ready to try it now, Phil?
Yeah.
All right, here it is. This is. I'll play it again for you, and so you get some momentum. This is tongue twister number one.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
And that was correct. All right. Okay. Thank you. All right. Let's go number two here. Back to you, Megan. This is tongue twister number two.
Surely shall see the sunshine soon.
Surely shall see the sunshine soon.
Damn, she's blowing these away. All right, dude, Phil, it's your turn, bro. You ready?
Yeah.
Here it is, tongue twister number two.
Surely shall see the sunshine soon.
Surely shall see the shit fly soon.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Try it again.
Surely shall shit on the sheet.
Oops, wrong
soon.
One. Nope. Try one more time, bro. If you get it, if you don't get this, you're out of the competition, and it's Megan on her own to continue. You want to hear it one more time? Just
yeah.
To get some momentum. All right, here you go. If you mess it up this time, you're out.
Oh shit!
All right, here it is. Tongue twister number two.
Surely shall see the sunshine soon.
Surely shit sunshine on the sea.
Judges?
Sure.
That's a good effort.
Correct. Okay, let's go to it now. It's time for tongue twister number three. This one's generally a pretty tough one. And here it is. Here you go, Megan. Tongue twister number three.
Can you imagine an imaginary menagerie manager imagining managing an imaginary menagerie?
Can you imagine an imaginary manager magifying your magic dreams?
Let's see. Judges?
I think that was pretty close.
Nope. Not even close. Try it again. Try it again. You want to hear it again just to get some momentum? All right, here
sure.
It is.
Can you imagine an imaginary menagerie manager imagining managing an imaginary menagerie?
Can you imagine a menagerie manager imagining in your menagerie management? That's my final answer. I'll just do that again.
No, you get one more chance. One more chance. One more chance. Come on, you can do this.
Okay. Imagine a menagerie manager managing the imagining menagerie in his menagerie imagination.
Judges? Correct. You got it.
Thank
Congratulations,
you.
Megan.
I worked really hard for that
one.
Yeah,
that was amazing. You did a great job. And for getting that correct, I have a prize for you. But before you find out what that is, we got to go to Phil. Phil, can you want to try this last one?
Yeah.
All right, bro. Here it is. You can win a prize too if you can complete this third and final. Where is it? I lost it. All right, here you go. Tongue twister number three for you, Phil. Tongue twister number three.
Can you imagine an imaginary menagerie manager imagining managing an imaginary menagerie?
Okay, I'm imagining a manager managing a menage a trois with three hot-looking employees. And it's...
Oh. Nope.
Yeah, you're
nope.
Cut off, Phil.
Now try another
cut
one.
Off.
You get two more shots. One more. Try again.
I'm imagining a manager managing a hot three-way with two.
This is it, dude. You got one last shot at it, bro. Come on, I know you can do this, bro. Come on.
I'm imagining a manager imagining a three-way with three hot chicks. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You got it, bro. All right, where are you calling from tonight, Phil?
I'm in the Pacific Northwest.
So what, Seattle, Portland? What's closer?
Portland.
Portland. Okay. Well, I'm going to take a call here, and I'll give you guys, before we finish up here in a few minutes, I'll tell you guys both what you've won. But I have somebody waiting patiently. Wheatley the Supercore is waiting patiently. What's up, Wheatley the Supercore?
Barrel roll.
I got a better barrel roll than that, bro. Let me find my barrel roll here for you. Where's my barrel roll?
Don't you have anything better to do?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I got a better barrel roll than he does. Here, let me turn up, see if he's still barrel rolling. No. Are you there, Wheatley the Supercore?
Barrel roll. Anyway.
Bye-bye. All right, that's it. Congratulations, Megan and Phil. I'm going to take a quick break, come right back, and say goodbye to Megan and thank her for being so wonderful, and of course, give her her prize or make her aware of her prize. And if you want to call in and join us, there's still time to do it. 347-826-7667. It's Vince in the Bay.
Я письмо достал, Николай Иванович, и опять запрещенное.
Совершенно запрещенное. Белинского Гоголю.
Ах, Николай Иванович, какое письмо.
Джонда Чаджин!
We'll be right back.
was a crime. In your time, it was not a crime.
You're tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Call in now, biatches, 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
For the nigga who be talking loud and holding his dick, talking shit, he better lay low. For the bitch that said I got some shit up out of my dick, now she sick, she better lay low. For the niggas who be claiming my hood and really ain't for my gang, better lay low. I hope he don't be thinking I'm just talking and I won't do a thing. Really hope so.
Yeah, you already know what it is. It's Vince in the Bay back with you. I'm going to wrap things up here with Megan in a second, but it looks like I have the Mexican on the line with me now, and that can only mean one thing, potentially a Sharks update. I don't know if they're playing tonight or not. Let's see. Goofy Bone, is that you?
Vince, come on. Are you serious? Are we playing tonight?
Did we play tonight?
Oh, my God, Vince. Are you ready for a Sharks update?
Jesus. Yeah,
play the
we are.
Last
we are.
One, Vince.
All right,
play
let's do one. Let's do this. Let's do this right now. Right now, let's do this. It's time for, geez, what do I call this segment? Hockey with the Mexican. Check this out. Oh, Jesus, where is this?
Well, as we are taking a pause while he's looking for that,
you know what? We're gonna have to do that in a second. I don't have it queued up. Hang on a second. I got to finish things up with my guest Megan. She's been a real trooper for hanging out with me here, Goofy. So we'll just pause that for just a minute if you don't mind. Is that cool?
Hey, your show.
In fact, hey Goofy. In fact, I want to introduce you to Megan. Megan, you're on with Goofy Bone. He's a regular here with me. You like hip hop. Goofy does the hip hop. He's a hip hop artist and he's a regular caller here. He's based out of the San Jose and he's a capitalist.
Oh, well, hello, Goofy.
How you doing, Megan?
It's a pleasure. I'm doing wonderful. Over here on the East Coast, it's approaching 1 a.m.
Oh, well, good morning to you.
Yes, thank you.
So you are a, you do all the animation for Silver Circle?
No.
I don't.
Were
you listening, Goofy?
No, I just can't.
He's watching the Sharks game. He just showed up. That's all he cares about is the Sharks game. But get him up to speed real quick. He'll be interested.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah, I work for the animated film. I'm the marketing manager, so I do everything from the website to hooking up interviews, running events, like where I met Vince at WonderCon in San Francisco. And right now we're in post-production for the upcoming film Silver Circle, which is an animated thriller romance about the economic collapse. Set in 2019, where a group of rebels are trying to destroy the big bad Federal Reserve Bank.
Wow.
Sound like your cup of tea?
Surely does.
Well, you can check us out at silvercirclemovie.com. And if you're into reading political blogs, we have a very rambunctious blog where we keep you up to date with Federal Reserve news, monetary policy, and just overall current events, which is silverunderground.com.
Wow.
I didn't even know about that website. What was that again? Silver Underground? Shut up, Mexican. Shut up for a fucking second, Goofy. I'm trying to get the info. What was that? That Underground?
Silverunderground.com.
Silverunderground.com. Okay, go ahead, Goofy. You got a question?
No, I was just saying, I was just congratulating you, Vince, on having this very intelligent and a jack-of-all-trades woman on your show.
Are you suggesting I don't have classy ladies on my show normally?
Well, no, I mean, you have classic ladies, but, I mean, this one's doing it all. I mean, you can't tell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she's great. Yeah, she's the total package, for real. Yeah, and
so
she's very humble.
Your inspiration? Can I ask like, three questions?
Three.
Do we have time?
Go for it. We got time. Go for it. Quick.
Okay. Where do you get your inspiration at, Miss Megan?
Me personally, in my own personal life, Ron Paul definitely kicked off a lot of my activism and passion when it comes to what I get up in the morning for. In regards to the movie Silver Circle, all the activists around the country and around the world definitely inspired the story, as well as just the dumbasses who've been running this monetary system, you know, for decades. Definitely inspired the story to tell, you know, to talk about it and talk about the Federal Reserve and how it controls, you know, is actually in control of things and not the federal government.
Yeah. Wow. How long have you been doing this? What is your company name like?
The studio's name is Lion Plot Productions. Silver Circle is just our first feature-length project that we're tackling right now. Like I said, it's in post-production. The story kind of was birthed around 2008. The idea was starting to get thrown around by the director and owner of the studio. I came into the picture a little over a year ago, and we've just been making nothing but progress ever since.
Wow. Congratulations to you and your people. And my last question is, what would be the next up and coming project from you guys?
Well, we're exploring that right now. We are looking into a sequel to the film. We're also looking into some other options. We've been to a ton of comic conventions, and we're kind of looking at, you know, can we turn some of these really awesome comics into an animated film?
Are you guys still looking for people to be on the soundtrack?
Yes, we are, actually. We'll be a little bit more explicit with details with that in the coming weeks. But we do have a couple slots that we're looking to fill with some indie artists. We actually have we're on the verge of having Iced Earth, the heavy metal band, on board. We also have another Liberty activist who's an acoustic guitar player who will be on the soundtrack. And we're kind of hoping to find a good hip-hop artist. We have some prospects right now, but we're open to some more submissions. So if you get onto our website, join our mailing list, that's the best way to get in touch with us in terms of submitting your music.
Okay.
That's what's up. I have a track to submit, and it's from Goofy Bone. I'm going to play it right now, but I have to say goodbye to everybody who's listening live because we're almost done. And my guest for tonight has been Megan, and she's from the film Silver Circle, and she's been a great sport tonight. And I really appreciate you, Megan, for hanging out, and I hope you will come back and maybe bring Pasha back with you at some point down the road.
Absolutely. We'd love to. And everyone that is going to be listening to the show tonight and in the future, make sure you get online and visit silvercirclemovie.com and join our mailing list, hop on our Facebook page, you know, holler at us on Twitter. We've just got tons of stuff going on online to keep you all busy before the movie comes out.
Right on. Well, thanks again, Megan. I appreciate it. And hang tight. You at least got to catch a little snippet of this. I'm sure Goofy will formally submit it to you through the correct channels. But this is one of his better tracks, and I would certainly like to think that it would garner some recognition. Or, who knows, maybe you like the style, the swagga, the flavor, if you will, and maybe he could craft some sort of tailored to Silver Circle. You never know.
Just tell me.
Thanks,
I could change anything. I mean, I could You tell me what.
No,
what
shut
you
up
want.
Already. Shut up already. Just shut up. I'm gonna play the track. Thanks everybody for hanging out. For those of you that are on the line, we're gonna go into OT here, and Goofy. I'm gonna play this track from Goofy, and then we'll come back and do the Sharks update after that, and then we'll do a post game wrap up and all that. So, if you want to get in on this and hear that before it hits the archive, call in now. It's the numbers 347-826-7667. Get in to hear the Goofy track and also Goofy break down the Sharks playoff game that happened earlier tonight, which I totally missed. So I'm actually kind of anxious for that, but whatever. It is what it is. Again, thanks to Megan for hanging out. Also, Phil for calling in. Goofy, Kishu, I see you. Hopefully you will come on with us in the overtime. And check me out tomorrow night. My guest tomorrow night will be Christina from Libertopia, and that's going to be at 10 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio. In the meantime, check me out in the archives, blogtalkradio.com/Vince in the Bay. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Vince in the Bay, and youtube.com/Vince in the Bay. All right. Peace out, yo. Here's Goofy Bone Drama right here on Disorderly Conduct with Vince in the Bay. Peace out, yo.
Chow time, gentlemen. Chow time.
Fuck you, pig.
Oh, bills on wheels for you then, motherfucker.
Fuck you, pig.
Come on, everybody. Chow time. Chow time.
It's all drama.
Right back to me. Right back to me.
Drama
coming right back to me, right back to me.
Comes in all shapes and sizes.
Coming right back to me, right back to me.
Even got itty bitty surprise.
Coming right back to me, right back to me.
That's why I always got my Glock.
Coming right back to me, right back to me.
Drama, it comes in all shapes and sizes. It even got itty bitty surprises. The Glocks are loaded, so let's go. It's time to create a murder show. Chump suckers in the streets trying to disrespect. Call me Goofy Soprano trying to put fools in check. What happened? Everyone was down for their crime. You want to take that easy life and drop that dime. In the streets of San Jose, that don't work. If you don't got your paperwork, you're lying in dirt. I've seen it before.
And White on the right point, back skates away from Helm. Reaches off to his right to Heatley. Moves into the circle, goes to the backhand, turns on Helm, throws it back. Here's White, shoots, down! From the right point from Ian White as he took the pass from inside the circle from a spinning Danny Heatley. He waited for a little traffic, wound up, and blasted it. Sharks 1, Red Wings nothing. That is a power play goal.
What a game. What a game.
I mean, that is reckless sports right there.
And go Sharks, bitches.
To the right side of Jimmy Howard. Sharks win it. Couture gets it back. Heatley to Demers off his stick. Now he loses the puck to Helm. It's going to be a shorthanded breakaway for Helm. He moves in, he shoots. Great save by Miami on a shorthanded breakaway.
Y'all ready for this?
All I can say is the bra that's coming over tonight, I'm banging her fucking extra hard.
Oh, yeah.
Sharks.
Sharks.
Couture's line is on the ice. Couture, Lowe, and Heatley, and they have played very well today. With a long beat across the ice, Todorovin jumps up to the plate, shoots on, he scores! How do you like that? Nicholas Wallin driving the puck toward the goal. It goes off of Howard, goes over the top of the shoulder, and falls into the net. That is Nicholas Wallin's first goal of the postseason, and it is a great one. It's his fourth of his NHL career. And it's the first one that's not in overtime.
Amazing.
It's time for Hockey with the Mexican.
Y'all ready for this?
Yeah. It's that time, people. Yeah, go Sharks. Another great game, people. We were live in Detroit, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, the San Jose Sharks versus the Detroit Red Wings. It was a game of the ages, people, I'm telling you. In 12 minutes and 57 seconds in the first period, Devin Setoguchi scored his second goal. It was a power play goal, assisted by Joe Thornton and Joe Pavelski, which led the Sharks with 1-0. And then in 19 minutes and 38 seconds into the first period, Nicholas Lidstrom scored his second goal. It was a power play goal because it was a power play night, people. I'm telling you. It was assisted by Hedrick Zetterberg and Tom Holmstrom. And then in the second period, Detroit scored in 13 minutes and 59 seconds. Patrick Aves scored his third goal. And then in 14 minutes and 49 seconds, Devin Setoguchi again scored on the power play, assisted by Dan Boyle and Joe Thornton. And then the last goal in the second period was at 18 minutes and 17 seconds. That was by Pavel Datsyuk. I can't pronounce it. Sorry, I'm Mexican. That was a power play goal, too. And I'm sorry, I'm a little bit drunk. Well, I'm coming down, though, people.
Yeah.
The Detroit was up 3-2 at the beginning of the third. And
Jesus Christ,
there
was a lot of shit going on in that game.
I'm telling you, you missed out. You missed out, Vince. It was a game of the ages. We were down 3-2. And then with four minutes and 8 seconds to go, 4:08, Dan Boyle scored with an assist by Kyle Wellwood and Torrey Mitchell. And led us to overtime. And you know, Vince, a year to this
morning. Oh, we're money in OT. We're money in OT, baby. Bring it on. We live for the fourth quarter. We play in quarters, baby.
You know, a year ago to this day, we played them in an overtime game with the same scenario, and Patrick Marleau scored that goal a year ago today. And today, Devin Setoguchi scored with 9 minutes and 21 seconds in overtime, assisted by Joe Thornton, a beautiful shot over the goalie. I mean, I'm sorry. We went in there. I thought this game that they're going to go ahead and take it from us because they were playing hard. You know, they're playing hard. They weren't giving us crap today. But at the end, we put it all together, man, and we fucking won. 4-3 in overtime. The Sharks have a 3-0 lead on the Detroit Red Wings. And in other scores in the NHL, Washington got their asses handed to them by the Lightning. They lost. No more Capitals. No more Ovechkin. They're out of the playoffs. Tampa Bay beat them. And the Bruins won today 5-1 against Philadelphia, which they took the lead as well, 3-0. And, of course, we won 4-3 in overtime. Shots out to the Sharks. And not Antti Niemi, whatever the fuck, our goalie, he played great, man. That's all I can say. Fuck yeah, Sharks.
That's fucking the shit, man. Yeah. Right on, dude. Thanks for that report, Goofy. I always appreciate that, man. That's fucking awesome. I'm sorry I didn't have the clip. That was actually the clips from the game before, but don't matter, dude.
It doesn't matter, Vince.
You fucking did it, man.
You had time to tell the
you
world,
brought
you
it.
Know what I mean? Shit.
That was the shit, man. Fuck yeah. All right, dude. So are you going to hang with me for a little bit here?
Well, I got 19 because I'm going to do a little 30-minute show on my other show on 186.2.
Oh,
so I'll
that's tough. Because I was thinking, I'm gonna bring Kishu on here in a second, and then I was thinking maybe we could go over to the Cannabis Monk Show and fuck with them for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. What time do you think? Should I just cancel the show, or should I do it later?
Why don't you do it after they're done? Their show
okay, when are
is,
they done?
Their show is another 50 minutes left, so they're done at 11
okay.
p.m. So do yours
okay,
at 11.
Okay. You know, your friend is on that show, right?
What friend?
The friend.
Which, there's a lot of the friends. What do you mean? What are you talking
about? I'm a troll and a liar.
Oh, is he on there right now?
He's been on there since you disrespected him.
I heard him on there yesterday. He's on there right now, too?
Yeah. He was on there because I went on there on the Monk Show earlier, and then I was on there for a little bit, and then I barely caught your show at the end, so I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I had to do a really early show. That chick, Megan, really cool girl. I hung out with her when I was at WonderCon and really hit it off with her and the other dude, Pasha, the director. I totally like kicked it with them for like, I don't know, like 45 minutes at their booth, just like talking about whatever. And I was like, you guys would be fun to be on their show. So I kind of sucks that he wasn't there too.
You got to tell me when you go to these events, man. I love all that shit, too, man. I'm not just a Mexican that does lawns and all that shit. You know what I mean?
I wasn't planning on doing it. I wasn't planning on going, but I had those guys on my show, and they kind of got me psyched up on it, and I still wasn't planning on going until the last minute. I just decided to – I had nothing better to do, so I was like, fuck it. I'll just check it out. And it was cheap. I thought it was going to be expensive. It was like $20. It's not bad. I thought that was – reasonable. That was great. $20. In this day and age.
Do they sell toys there and all that other stuff too? Or like, you know, the booth with the comic books and all that other stuff. Do they have all that or no?
Oh yeah, they have all that shit. Yeah. I didn't film most of that stuff. I wasn't really interested in that. But yeah, that element is certain. Oh, it's totally there. There's bins of comic books everywhere. Oh, you know what? That's the one thing I wanted to get to. She touched on it for a second, but this film that they did, there's a whole comic book for it too, like an online comic. And the art in the comic is really pretty badass. I mean, it looks like a fucking comic.
My next video, I want to do like a comic book like that. You know what I mean? But it's like I don't know who to ask for, you know, because I can't draw for shit. All I could draw is Goofy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I would love to do that.
Yeah, hang on. Let's bring on Kishu. Yeah, she's right here. Hang on. Kishu,
what's
up, baby?
What's
hey,
up,
baby?
Honey buns. I really can't stay too long.
Oh, okay.
I'm driving at the moment.
Yeah,
I'm about to be at my destination.
Cool.
So, I'm driving a sweet car right now.
Oh yeah, what you rolling in right now, baby?
Acura NSX.
Okay.
Fallen. I'm loving
it. I don't even know what that is. Is that a mini something or is that a SUV?
Oh, it's a fucking badass sports car.
Oh, a sports car. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right on, ballin', sister.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So how'd your show go tonight?
It went great. It went really great. I had this girl
on. I
wish
that I could have gone on, but she had so much going on.
Yeah. No, I didn't expect a big turnout at all, and I didn't get one until the very end. No, but I tried to put the blast out that it was going to be on earlier, and it just didn't. It just doesn't sink in. People just don't pay attention to that shit. They just show up around the time they figure Vince is usually on, and that's why they came around towards the end. But it's all good. It was good. We had a great chat. It was just me and her for the first like hour and 15 minutes. We had no calls. It was just mano y mano.
Oh, that's cool though.
And she's really, really, really cool. And yeah, I want her to come back with the director, the guy, and
book them up.
So I don't know, maybe after they get accepted to whatever festival or release it or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll come back.
Well, I am now arriving where I'm supposed to be.
Okay.
So
all right.
Actually, if there's any way you could call me back in like 20 minutes, I could swing that. I don't know.
Let's see where we're at. We're going to go try to bug Cannabis. We're going to go bug Cannabis Monk for a little while.
Do you have my cell phone number? So.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. I'll try you back later. If not.
Okay, sounds good. You guys have fun. And if not, I'm sure I'll talk to you in a little bit anyways.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Bye, Vince. Bye, Goofy.
Bye. Thanks for checking in, honey. Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Always.
Bye. All right, Keishu, everybody. Oh, that girl's gonna break my heart. I can tell. I just know it already. Oh, Jesus, are you kidding me? Oh, switchboard's giving me some weird, funky situation going on here. All right, so Phil, I think, is still with us. Phil, are you still there?
Yeah.
Hey, bro. Sorry, man. What's you're still hanging around? Do you have anything you want to add?
Well, you know, I'm probably one of the only people on BTR with a monetary policy reform on his BTR profile.
Mm.
You know, and it's like just trying to get everybody to, you know, check it out. And, you know, it's like that girl you had on this, you were interviewing.
Yeah.
She needs to interview me.
Why does she need to interview you? Why shouldn't I just interview you?
Because I'm not funny.
Mm. No, you're not, are you? Yeah,
no.
I just realized that, actually, before you said that. But that's fine. No judgments. It's okay. I'm not funny nearly as much as I wish I was, but it's all good. It's all good, dude.
I mean,
it's all good in the hood. You know what? You're probably one of those people that is funny when you're not trying to be funny. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, I know a lot of people that when they're not trying to be when they let their guard down at some point, when they're not taking themselves too serious, and they get caught in an off-color moment.
No.
Let their guard down. They'll say something weird, or they'll just do something funny and off color, wild and off color, that to them is not intentionally being funny, but it just is hilarious. Just, I don't know, maybe by circumstance or situation.
No. You know that. I mean, you heard my answers to the tongue twisters, right? That was some funny shit, right?
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah,
it was better.
You know,
let's put it this way: it was better than what Snake from the Skype assholes did.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is
party pooper that guy is.
Yeah, but what I want to talk about is not funny. It's fucking deadly, goddamn serious. You know, because
I understand, and you know what? I respect that, and I do label my show as comedy. Obviously, I try to keep things lighthearted and funny. But I also try to, like, weave in serious subject matter and, you know, maybe turn it on its head and have fun with it. Maybe I'm closer to, I don't know, Stephen Colbert than I am to Walter Cronkite. But that's fine. I'm cool with that.
Well, the trick is how do we take the deadly goddamn serious and make it funny? You know? To get people Because people.
I'm gonna figure out a way. You know what you do? Inject random, weird, oddball stuff. Like my suggestion, as far as if I go to Porkfest up in New Hampshire, I'm seriously considering if I have the means, I will bring some hookers with me and some party favors, if you will, and make this happen. You know what I'm saying?
Oh man, I wish I was going with you, dude. Oh.
Where are you at? You know what? I never gave Megan her prize. God damn it. I never gave you your prize either. You were calling out of the Pacific Northwest. Well, fuck it, man. We should have the fucking Free West Project, bro. We're just all in the free. Everybody in the West is free, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Free West Project, man. We're all, everybody in the West Coast, the best coast, is free, dude. That's another thing I want to ask. I guess it's better if I ask my guest tomorrow. My guest tomorrow is, her documentary is about the Free State Project.
I thought that's who you were talking to tonight.
No. Tonight, that was a different film. Also a liberty-minded film, but their film is more Federal Reserve-oriented.
Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly how to take down these fuckers, if I can just convince anybody that I know. But the problem is how to take them down sounds so nonsensical. But what I was getting at it is people with a sense of humor are key to this, because there's something about the brain that is like, people without a sense of humor can't comprehend certain things, and I think people with a sense of humor can't. Because the bastards that are screwing with this planet, you know, they have a sense of humor, but it's really sick. And probably maybe that's why I figured out what the hell they're doing, but. Yeah, man.
I hear you, bro. Hey, thanks for calling in, Phil, and hanging with me through the bitter end here. I appreciate it. I'm gonna get out of here. It's been a lot of fun. I've had a long day and a long night, and I think I'm gonna call it quits here for the program this evening. But once again, shouts out to Megan Duffield of Silver Circle, and if you wanna check the film's website out, it's once again silvercirclemovie.com. And also shouts to Goofy Bone, Phil, and Kishu for joining me as well. And I'm going to duck out of here and talk to you all again very soon. That will be again tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern. Again, my guest tomorrow night, Christina from the documentary Libertopia. And if you want to get a little teaser, she did an interview on Reason TV, I believe. If you look up Reason TV, Christina Libertopia, that will give you an idea of what she's all about. So check it out, dudes and dudettes. And in the meantime, peace out, everybody. And let's see, let's sign off with a track from Cornelius. This is Gum, Late Skates. We'll be right back.
you very nice.